How many of you would be afraid if you were told to walk across the field, but there might be some leftover World War II landmines? Yeah. It'd be kind of scary to try to navigate through that if you can't see the landmines. And that's what we're going to talk about, some landmines that we face in life and how to deal with that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I look to you, Father, to just carry this message, to speak to each of our hearts, to let us see the grace, the mercy, and the power that you've given each one of us to be the people you've called us to be. And pray that you're honored that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to explore over the next few weeks landmines, things that can be very explosive in our lives, things that can be very destructive to our lives, and how to deal with those particular landmines in our life, okay? They can be deadly to us, and we are the ones that activate them. We are the ones that step on the landmines because we allow ourselves to do so. And so we have to be wise to that, and we have to learn how to avoid stepping on the landmines, avoid creating the situations in our lives that really can be destructive to us and destructive to the relationship that we have with God and the plans that God has for us. So as you know, landmines are buried below the ground, so we really can't see them. You've seen the commercial on TV with the guy that lost his legs. You see these commercials, and he was in a Humvee, and they had hit something, and they said, well, just go on, and if we hit a landmine, sometimes they're duds, so we're just going to move forward. Well, the landmine went off, and the NV went 10 feet up in the air and blew the front of the truck base, the NV off, and then blew off both of his legs from the knees up. And so, that brought a lot of destruction and a tremendous change to his life that, if he doesn't handle it well, could be very self-destructive. You know, we handle things in our lives in different ways. We need to be obviously careful about that. Many landmines in our lives come from what? Sin, our sin, okay? Or issues in our lives, or our thought patterns, or our emotions. We get that we know that sin can bring devastation and issues in our lives. How we think, how we process things, how we deal with our emotions with the difficulties that we're facing. And these things can be very explosive and be those landmines to each of us in our lives. And also, God gave us our emotions as a gift so we can enjoy and appreciate the lives or life God has given us. God wants us to have a heart of joy, of peace, of confidence, of strength, so many different things. But we can allow circumstances in our life to undermine the good purposes that God wants to have and do in our lives. So in Genesis 3, 6 through 10, we're going to look at one of the examples, specifically looking at sin that brought devastation. And you can clearly see biblically how this particular passage of scripture points to a landmine that was extremely destructive. So when the woman, that's Eve, saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So there's your first hint of devastation. Their relationship with God now had changed. Instead of welcoming him freely, fully, clear conscience, now it was inhibited because of sin, and they hid. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Obviously, God knew where they were, right? So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was," what? "Afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And so after they sinned, what entered into their life? Fear. They were afraid. We can create landmines or circumstances in our life that will bring fear to our life. Because the wages of sin is death, because sin does not bring life, sin brings destruction to to our lives. And we need to remember that and guard against that. And so they felt shame in verse 7, and they felt an unhealthy fear. Being afraid of God, we were afraid. We were naked and hid in the bushes and tried to clothe ourselves. We are afraid to come before you. Sin can interfere with us being free to go before God. One, if you're lost, we can't come before God and have a relationship with him except by receiving Christ as our Savior. But when we as believers are acting and living in a way that's displeasing to God, otherwise called sin, it interferes with us going to God. What we hear in the passages of Scripture, you know, some people will think, I've sinned so badly, you can't forgive me. And God says, no. He can forgive any sin except which one? Rejecting him. If you reject him, then you're not giving him the opportunity to forgive you. And so, because we live in a fallen world, the enemy, which we're always standing against, which is in the Lord's Prayer, you know, that we are to be aware of the enemy, the evil one, deliver us from evil or the evil one. The enemy takes aspects of our lives that the Lord meant for good. God wanted to work good in Adam and Eve's life. And then the enemy came and tempted them, and they made a decision to receive that temptation and sin against God. And we do the same thing. And it robs us of the good that God wants to work in our lives. It also affects our emotions, and it can distort them, and it can actually cause us pain and keep us from serving God. When we're under emotional pain, we can become extra sensitive to physical pain. It envelops us and creates a problem. So we're going to look at the landmine of fear today. We all have things that we're afraid of. I'm afraid of swimming in the ocean too far out, and lately, because the sharks are too close in, I don't even want to walk in the shallow part of it. And so, and that's a shame, because it's fun to swim in the ocean, but it's also nice to have two legs. So, so I'm afraid of that. That's one of my fears. So Satan uses the emotion of fear to prevent you from enjoying what the Lord has planned for you or already given you. God has given us grace to live for him, but emotionally or in our own intellectual thought process, we can embrace fear that prohibits us from experiencing the good work that God wants to do in our life, or to accomplish the things that he's already given us and equipped us to do. And so we have to be careful about fear. And some may say they don't have any fears, but I would think that they might be not as truthful with themselves as they could be, right? But the truth is, everyone is afraid of something. And fears may be hidden like a landmine in our life. We don't know when we're gonna hit them. We don't know when they're gonna confront us. We don't know when, and you can think about that in life circumstances, but just think even more specifically in our walk with God. God may put something in front of us that in our flesh scares us. Like, this is why people choose not to follow God the distance, go the extra distance, because they're afraid of what God might tell them he wants them to do. They're afraid of how God might lead them. But anything that God leads us to do is what? It's good. It's always good. It's not bad. And it's for his glory. And it's to enrich our lives. And so Satan uses the emotion of fear to prevent you from enjoying what the Lord has planned for you or already given to you. He's equipped us for the work that he has for us to do, but we might draw the line because we're afraid. And so that's our safeguard, but we miss out on the blessings that God has for us. And so that can make those landmines themselves can become very dangerous in our life, because we find ourselves not experiencing the life that God wants us to have. And it might end up with a sense of, my life really is not fulfilled. I'm really not content with my life. And that contentment comes from being in the will of God and following him. That contentment helps us to grow spiritually. Fear prevents us from building our faith. Fear prevents us from stepping out in faith as God calls us to do what he wants us to do. Because we analyze the situation and we step back and we say, I'm in control of this. I'm going to protect myself from what I'm afraid of. But if God's leading us to, then we should shift ourselves from the focus of fear to the focus of trust in our Heavenly Father who loves us and only wants the best for our lives, right? So our fears and worries can dominate all our goals and desires. They can block our spiritual growth and prevent us from building our faith. Our fears, worries, or anxieties do not honor God. If we've allowed ourselves to live in our walk with God in a state of fear, we have been robbed of the joy that God wants us to have. God wants us not to live as his people in fear. He wants us to live in strength and confidence and courage, being the people he wants us to be. And you know, again, David and Goliath comes to mind, right? David didn't have any fear approaching Goliath, because he relied on God. He trusted God and his power, not his own. He didn't stand and analyze like his brothers and the army of Israel did the dangers of facing Goliath. He just said, no, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going in the power of my God. And he experienced a great victory that not only affected his life and Israel and all those that witnessed that, but you and I as well. And so, our faith is so important. Don't let it be robbed by our fear, right? Don't let it be robbed by fear. We are not trusting or having faith that God is powerful enough to protect us or meet our needs. You might be wondering how you're going to pay your taxes this year, you know, especially with all the added taxes that have gone up. Or you might be saying, wow, 87,000 IRS guys packed with a weapon are seeking any bit of money they can find. Does that bring any type of anxiety? We have to entrust certain things that impact us to gravitate maybe possibly to fear and say, no, God is my Heavenly Father. And I know that God loves me, and I also know that my heart is right with God. And I don't have to be afraid. And it's key that we keep our hearts right with God. So I want to look at a couple Bible verses that God gave us to diffuse these landmines that we may encounter. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Amen. Right? Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And we all know, of course, Joshua 1:9. So God is with us. We're not to be discouraged or dismayed. We know that God strengthens us to face what challenges lie ahead of us. And God will help us because of his righteous right hand. You know what the right hand is? It's the right hand of support. What's the right hand of God? The power and authority of God. His power and authority comes under us like a man holding his bride in his arms and holds us up. And so that's how that we're to look at that. Now Joshua 1:9, a very familiar passage, says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The land of Canaan was full of giants and strongholds and fortified cities. And there were things that threatened Israel that were far more powerful than they were. But God told Joshua, don't be afraid, I'm with you. He could have stepped back like the people of Israel did and analyzed the circumstances, because they went in and spied out the land, came back and disclosed what they saw that was a threat to them. And the majority of the people were afraid, but not Joshua and Caleb. They put their faith in God. And see, that's the dynamic that you and I can face. We can face the landmine of fear instead of the truth and security and love of God. And so that fear robbed them of the blessings that God wanted to give them. Do you think Joshua and Caleb got a lot of blessings? You bet. For being faithful. And so obviously those aren't the only verses that we can find in the Bible to help diffuse the landmine of unhealthy fear. What is a healthy fear?
Fear of God.
Fear of God, right. Having a respect or fear of God, okay? I say on one hand respect, but we should have a legitimate fear. If I do this, my God isn't gonna like it, right? And so we should have that healthy fear of God as well. I want to do something a little bit different this morning and point something out to you that I've never done in a message before. I want to help you to find some resources in your Bible that will help you to gain what you need to overcome fear, all right? You can go in your Bible or go on your Google and do topical searches very easily on apps like YouVersion Bible app or Google, okay? And before, we're going to point out this other app I want you to look at in a minute. Got a little ahead of myself there, but not by much. So the more we dwell on God's word, the more courageous we will become, and the landmine of fear will be diffused in our lives. Do you feel a strength in your life when you read God's word or meditate on God's word, spend time with God? With the days that you don't do that, do you sense the spiritual struggle? And so we know we gain strength from the word, we gain strength from the Spirit of God and our relationship being knit closely together with him. And so we need to make sure that we are faithful to him, right? And Psalm 119, the more we dwell on God's word, the more courageous we will become, and the landmine of fear will be diffused in our lives. We get courage, we get motivation, we get clearly in line with God's will, and we have a clear, distinctive awareness of the presence of God when we're in his word. That's why I think it's a statistic of, I think like 92% of Christians don't read their Bibles. And we need to read our Bibles. And Satan wants to make that a burden, but it's really a blessing. Psalm 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The more we take the word of God in, the more we retain, the more we're equipping ourselves to fight against the enemy or to know how to navigate around the landmine. So when we're praying and we're praying about an issue that's difficult, I know one that's been on my mind quite often of late, is cast your cares upon me for I care for you. Now that's not a suggestion. That's a command from Jesus saying, I don't want you to carry this burden. I want to carry that for you. All you have to do is say, I'm willing to give my burden over to you, God. And we oftentimes will emotionally say, I don't deserve to be free from that burden. And so I'll carry the burden as a self-penitence for our sin. Or I don't deserve to cast that on Jesus because it's my issue. But Jesus is saying very clearly, I am there for you. I want to carry the burden so that you might have what? Peace, joy, confidence, assurance, that God's going to take care of it. And I don't want to say there's nothing like it, but I do want to say that it is a wonderful thing when the Spirit of God speaks to our heart in prayer and he says, I'll take care of it. And it resonates in our spirit and we know that God has got it. The burden has been cast on him and we've let go of that. Otherwise, we keep putting ourselves into an emotional turmoil like stepping on an emotional mine. That's destructive to our life and interferes with us following God because we're so focused and wrapped up in the fear rather than the confidence that we need to have in God. We need to memorize and meditate on God's word. So there are all types of apps out there that can help you meditate on scripture. And this is what the part that I was saying that I'm a little bit different in the message. But there's an app, and if you want to load it up, it's called Fighter Verses app, okay? And it'll help you memorize and meditate on the scripture. It gives you quizzes, it gives you games, it gives, I never thought of, well, songs, singing the scriptures, devotionals, etc. And those things will help us to memorize and to meditate on God's word. You can memorize verses based on topics or pre-programmed fighter verse series or random verses that you choose. For example, you can look up the topic of fear in the fighter verses, and it gives you Psalm 56, 3 through 4. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. And God, I will praise his word. And God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Now, my pattern of memorizing is twofold. Mine is put post-its everywhere, right? Put a post-it on your refrigerator door. Put a post-it on your bathroom mirror or the dash of your car. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it often. And you look at it and you think about it. And I break it down and I say, okay, the first verse of the first part of the verse that I'm memorizing like this, or I say, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust you. And you just meditate on that, think on that, and you rehearse that through the day. Right? But in this particular application, it gives you songs, quizzes, and different things that you can use, fill in blanks, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's just a suggestion. I've heard, I don't know if you've heard it too, that a lot of Christians have a difficult time memorizing the word. Part of that's spiritual because the devil doesn't want us to, because we hide his word in our heart, right? Then we have the resources to fall back on when we see the landmine. We say, I'm not stepping on that. I'm not buying into that because God's word says this or that. So if we don't diffuse the landmine of fear in our lives, there will be consequences. Absolute consequences. I think I've told you before that when I was single and I rented a room from an elderly woman who was a pastor's wife, or her husband had passed away, and she just drew the line and she said, the less I know, the less I'm held accountable for. That was her biblical stand. She was afraid of being held accountable for what she learned, so she decided, I won't learn it. Did she get robbed of a richness with God and a purpose in life? Absolutely. And so this type of thinking is destructive. And so we have to be careful and we have to identify the landmines of fear in our lives so that we can navigate around them, or even, I don't want to say through them, I don't want to go through a landmine, but sometimes life feels like a landmine that's exploded. And God can walk us through it safely. So, an anxious person will not be afraid to take risks, or will be afraid to take risks. I'm too anxious, I'm too nervous, I'm too upset, I've analyzed it too much, I've analyzed it so much that I won't. We have to be careful about not doing that. An anxious person will be afraid to take risks, and as a result, will be incapable of launching out. What's that say in the back on the wall? Launch out into the deep. I don't like sharks. Launch out into the deep. Because in essence, God is saying, don't be afraid that you're in the deep and you can't stand on the sand below you. Know that I am with you to do what I've called you to do. And that's where God wants us to be, where we find that we can't be dependent or reliant or self-controlled over circumstance per se, that we are willing to yield to God in a way of saying, I have no control against these sharks. I have no recourse that's too deep. I can't stand on the ground below me and walk out of the water. I can't get away fast enough, so I'm going to trust God instead. Launch out into the deep, right? And be that person that God wants you to be, me to be. And sometimes God will call us to do things that are frightening, because we understand that we're, even when taking a stand, it's difficult because it's frightening when we stand on the truth of God and his word. And if people that we're sharing the gospel with, it's scary. And we might get that rejection, but God gives us the blessing, and the seed is still planted, right? And so an anxious person will be indecisive and procrastinate on important projects and or assignments from God. You know what I love about that statement? I love knowing that God has assignments for each one of us. That's exciting to me. It's exciting to think, my Heavenly Father, I have an assignment for you today. I have an assignment for your life. I have a purpose that is clearly from me to you, specifically for you to do through the Father. And that's an exciting reality. But fear will rob us of identifying and accomplishing the assignments that God wants us to accomplish through Him. They'll make the wrong decision and not yield to God. Fear can end up dominating a person's entire life. And there will be fear of poverty. We know people are afraid of that, or of sickness, or old age, or death, or criticism, right? There are people that are afraid of old age. I mean, I don't know if they've had so many facelifts that there's a knot on the back of their head. You know, they're afraid of getting old. You know, buy your crepe medicine to get rid of the crepe, whatever, these type of things. There's the self-image is not appropriate. We're afraid of looking a certain way. We're afraid of who we are, the image that we want to be being broken. But what's the best image we should have? The reflection of God in our life, reflecting God. And that brings honor and glory to God. But the only way we can reflect God adequately is not to live in fear, but in confidence in God. That He loves us, He has good for us to do, and He has an assignment for us. And so fear will enslave us. And I don't want to be enslaved to anything except Jesus. Mm-hmm. To be that servant of Christ, enslaved to Him by my own free will as He's led me to. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." God has made us free. He doesn't want to live a life of bondage. And in this case, in this message, in this landmine, we know that that's in reference to fear. If any of you are living in fear, you're being robbed and deceived by Satan. He's robbing your life of being he's robbing your life of what he wants you to be in him. Okay? When we live in fear, we are living according to the flesh and not according to the spirit. Can we identify with that? Our fear comes from our rationale, our flesh, not the spirit of God. That's our godly counselor, comforter, encourager, our own strength. So we're choosing to walk in the weakness of the flesh and not in the strength of the spirit of God. In Romans 8:12 through 16, it says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh." What is a debtor? We are obligated. As a believer in Christ, we are obligated not to live in the flesh. God has given us freedom. He's given us new life. He's given us His Spirit. We are a new creation in Him. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." We live in fear, we will die. There's something robbed from us, okay? If you live according to the flesh, if you don't receive Christ, you die. You're without hope, right? "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." I can diffuse that landmine of fear by living in the Spirit of God, living in fellowship with the Spirit of God that indwells me, doing what He counsels me to do through His Word and His leadership that doesn't contradict His Word. And so we have that opportunity to live by the flesh or live by the Spirit, to put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. That's what verse 13 says. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." There's an identification mark. Do you want to be known as the sons or the children of God? Then we have to be willing to let the Holy Spirit lead us and be willing to follow Him. If we're following the Holy Spirit, the natural spiritual outcome of that will be the very presence of God will be seen in our lives so distinctly that people will know that we are Christians. It's just clear. It's just there. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. What? He set us free. He gave us liberty, right? That's what he's given us. So he did not give us the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Hey, that's my Father up there. That's God Almighty. I was thinking and meditating on this. God knows every sparrow that falls to the ground. But yet he sits on his throne in heaven and is in charge of all the universe and everything. He knows everything. And then you go to this little tiny, tiny planet with all these little tiny, 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 tiny human beings on this planet. And then he goes further and he goes down into the depth of your heart and knows your heart and loves you enough to die for you. It's just astronomical to think about God and who he is caring so much for me, for loving you and I as his children, but also loving the world. He died for the world, John 3:16. And the fact that he knows every hair on my head every day is something that just points to the fact that he is so in love with us that he is intricately aware of every aspect of us and involved in our lives. This is God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, sitting on his throne. And we're going to see that throne. And so we in verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So why in the world would I embrace fear consciously, knowingly, willingly, endorse and embrace fear when my Father and your Father is God? We have a heavenly Father that loves us more than what we can ever comprehend. And we can rely on him and we can trust him, even though our logic and our thinking does not wrap around how to handle the frightful thing in front of us. But God will show us how to walk around the landmine, how to get through that dilemma. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we're to live as children of God. And to live as children of God is to walk in his spirit, not in our flesh. And that's a choice each one of us makes. But if we choose to walk in the flesh, we choose to be robbed of God's blessings. We choose to walk in the spirit, we will see God's blessings on our life. Even though it might not look like it from the outside, spiritually in our heart, we will know the blessings that God has for us. We are children of God and do not need to live in the bondage of fear. Every person in the world has an opportunity to live this earthly life to the fullest. And that is through faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone that I know of in this room is saved. I don't know some of you personally. But as I've met you, you know, it appears that you're saved, right? People that are listening to this message, I don't know who you are. But if you're saved, then we're to walk by faith in Christ, walk in step with the Spirit, and follow him that our life might reach the fulfillment of the assignment that he's given us. He's given us an assignment. It's got your name on it. You don't want to get to heaven with an assignment sitting up there with our name on it that the package isn't opened up. We need to embrace the assignment and not look at fear, but say, God, you're my Father. You love me, and I love you. And evidence of that is that I'm going to walk with you in faithful obedience. And even God in his mercy and grace knows our weaknesses and our sinful nature. We also know how to keep ourselves in step with God through confession and repentance. And so some people don't take the opportunity to live their life to the fullest, because they live in fear. Remember the guy that was given three guys that were given the talents? One got five talents, the other got, one got 10, one got five, one got one talent. And so the man who had 10 talents used them and made more money. Then one who had 5 talents used them and made more money for the master. The master said, well done, I'll give you more. And then the last one said, what have you done with the talent I gave you? Well, I knew you were a shrewd man, but I buried it in the ground because I didn't want to take the risk of not making it what you want it to be. Oh, foolish man, he took it away from him. Took the assignment away and gave it to the others. God can take the assignments away from us because we're not willing to embrace them. But fear can interfere with that embracing of the assignments that God has for our lives as we follow him. And you're saying, well, I don't know what my assignment is. As we walk in step with God, God will unveil, like an onion being peeled and peeled and peeled, and reveal not only himself, but his plan and purpose for each of us. And we just take that step by faith and follow him. We are the children of God, and we do not need to live in bondage and fear. So don't step on the landmine of fear. Don't step on it. Just don't do it. You have the capability to identify the fear and not yield to it. Don't step on that landmine of fear. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that enslave you. But walk around it with victory in Jesus, living in confidence in him. Take hold of God's word and be courageous, like he told Joshua. Diffuse the landmine of fear in your life. You find yourself entrapped, and I know people that have, that simply live in fear. This is not from God. This is from the enemy that wants to paralyze us in our mental anguish of fear. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. But I want to thank you for allowing us to be your children. And to be able to cry out and to call to you as our Heavenly Father. And all your greatness and all the might and power that you have and all the honor and the glory that you deserve, your heart is tender for each one of us as we are your children through faith in Jesus Christ. So help us to rely on you, because there's no greater resource, no greater dependency that we could have than to depend upon you as our Heavenly Father, creator of everything that there is, and that we know that you love us and that you've equipped us and that you empower us to be the people that you want us to be and to accomplish the plans and the purposes or the assignments that you have for each of us to embrace. That you might be glorified, that our lives might be enriched in our relationship with you, and that our light might shine, that the salt of our conduct would be impacting on those around us as well. Help us to be light and salt, not light salt. We need to be careful about that. And I pray your honor this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.